Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And recording has started. Hello, this is The Theory of Thing. This is James Whelan speaking. I am an investment manager at VFS Group, and I'm joined by Heath Moss, principal of HLM Investments. Heath, how are you now?
Very well, thanks, James. I hope you're well.
Yeah, mate, how are you now? I'm fantastic. We're all good to go. Just to note that everything is any advice is general in nature through the course of this podcast, and we are sponsored by the Australian Mutual Funds Exchange. If you want access to the Indian markets, go and get it done through AMFEX, AMFEX.com. It's fantastic. Now, top of the show, you know, it's just hit, just come across my screens. Beforepay, the company that I personally seeded my own money, my own little baby, has, sometimes you just see these little things, the training wheels have come off and the brackets, this is an investment advice, so just to close that. I hold. We love this stock. We love this company. The brackets have come off the EBITDA. They are now a profitable company. That is colossal for me. I'm so stoked about that.
It's fantastic. Well done.
I don't bang the drum about Beforepay much. I don't think I've ever mentioned it on the show, apart from it just being something that we seeded, and it's difficult to seed companies sometimes, and difficult to, especially when the stock price goes backwards from where it is. But I'm looking at this thing here and just going, I can't possibly imagine anything better. $0.57 million of EBITDA profit. That's up from 3.24. So that's my news to start the thing, because it just hit this morning on the reports. It's just, when I say this morning, it's 10:34 a.m. on the 28th of July, 2023. Wow, we're almost done with July, mate. 28th
of July already. Bloody hell.
We're done with July. Almost August. She's in the past now, mate. What's your performance? What was your sharp ratio?
I couldn't tell you off the top of my head. That's actually being an advisor such as myself, and I'm advising on a very large range of different clients. A new client who possibly might sign up, we come up and say, okay, what's your performance? I'll be like, I can't give you one. I mean, every client is different. They have different goals and objectives. I can give you very general performances for some clients that maybe like. But yeah, us as advisors, I know for myself, we're not like a fund. We can't just say, you know, we pumped out 6% whatever this quarter. It's very, very different. It's one of the toughest questions that comes across the desk, and trying to explain the difference between what I do and what, you know, a fund manager or someone who runs an SMA or something does.
That's true. I get the same thing. So as much as I'm running an MDA, it's a part of a bigger sort of thing, and people are just like, hey, it's just like, hey, mate, I've got people who work at Google, so they can't hold, well, they already hold Google, so I don't put Google on their account. So I miss out on one of the big key stocks that I want to hold for everyone else. So that account, if I'm using that as the benchmark, and they've all got different things. Some clients, and this is the thing with retailers, it's a hilarious game, isn't it? They don't want to, they're just like, I don't like China. I don't want to hold any China. I'm just like, okay, well, what if I think that China's going to go up? They're just like, I don't care. I'm not going to hold it.
So I'll miss out.
They don't want defense, aerospace and defense, something that I don't love it either. I mean, I love it, but I don't like putting people into it. But yes, anyway, moving on. So that is the fun. So I'd say your sharp's about 3.5, mate. Nice work. Good work. Now, beautiful. Enjoy your coffee. It's the end of July.
All right, mine.
Now moving into August. I'm into my fifth. I've just received some really good news. I'm still 2 weeks out from starting at Shaw and Partners, which is Grouse, and that's going to be the highlight of my career. I mean, VFS has been the highlight of my career so far. It's a big, exciting thing, a huge thing. Clients are ecstatic about shifting as well. A lot of people, I talk to people, and they're just like, James, it's a big move. It's a great move. You're going to be happy wherever you go. So get.
Yeah.
But only if you lean into that storm, anything that there is. If I hesitate, I'll fail. So that's sort of just something I've just got to remind myself. And I'm doing these, you know, this whole manifestation thing that people talk about, and making sure that you're always pushing forward and not always staying positive, just staying real, but also just sort of you know, gritting into it and stoically charging ahead. Now, mate, you got some results for us out of the States. I know that you're the result guy. Hit me.
Actually, Australia outperformed the States this week. They're only up so far because it's Thursday. I mean, Thursday in the States, sorry. They're only up 0.2%. We did 1.9%, but we're coming off about 0.5% today. So we're about 1.4% up for the week. So it's been a really, really good week. Earnings driving the US along with the Fed. Here, a little bit of earnings. Obviously, we're taking in what's happening over there. Plus, you know, China's teasing us with the stimulus talk again. And that got everyone excited to start the week. Did you want to share my... I've got a really good note. I've got a really good stat. So the Dow Jones, up until last night, was up 13 straight sessions in a row, which is an equal record. And it's only been done three times since World War II and the first time since 1987. Now, in the three-month period and six-month period after that, the market are always up. And for 3 months, it averages a 6% return. And for the 6 month, it's an 11% return.
So 6% and 11%.
So
hand signals.
Decent return there. But it's an interesting stat. And it's funny how it didn't break the record. It came off last night. I thought for sure when I went to bed and saw, you know, Dow up almost 1%, that it was gonna break a record. But lo and behold, it didn't.
I was not too. It seemed fine. Like when I left it was fine. Second, at the end of the second session of the test, it seemed okay. Yeah, I think Europe was going through some stuff. Lagarde's just coming. She said we're going to keep doing whatever we need to do, and everyone can just shut up, get out of the way.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That was Europe. Get after it.
Yeah. So again, it's that theme of the resilient and showing maybe a little bit of strength in the U.S. economy. Actually, that's the XJO. Let me change it over.
The U.S. I do not believe that the U.S. is going into a recession. That's me.
Oh, I see.
We've said this before. We've gone into it. I don't think the U.S. goes into a recession.
Yeah, yeah. And you see the big candle there last night, you know, how it went up and then came all the way back down. And that was on the back of a couple of things. Durable good orders came out last night a lot stronger than expected. And second quarter GDP came in a lot stronger than expected, up 2.4% versus the 1.8 expected, and ahead of the 2% in the first quarter. So, and then also, of course, initial and continuous job claims came in lower than expected as well. So, again, the U.S. economy is showing a bit of strength. And like you said, I mean, you're of the opinion now that it's not going to head into recession. I'm of the opinion it's still going to head into recession. It's just going to be later than expected. They've got some major headwinds coming up in September, October. We've got September is when they expect the excess COVID savings and stimulus to run out amongst households. October is when student loan repayments restart. So there's two major drags on the consumer, and we know the consumer is 70% of that US GDP. So I think things are going to get a lot tougher for the US in the end of the year and the first quarter next year. Although Goldman's have now come out this week and said they don't expect a recession at all in 2024 in the US. I mean, overall too, it feels like the markets are leading us into a false sense of security almost. I mean, a couple of months ago, it was US recession was definite. You know, things looked terrible. Data came out, was really, really soft. And it was only a matter of time before we saw that leg lower. But now, you know, the SPX is 250 points off of all time highs. NASDAQ, you know, close to, and things just seem. I think the markets are making us too complacent. That VIX is down at 13 or something, 13, 14.
Oh.
It really feels like it's lulling.
Well, VIX doesn't really count anymore, mate. Jumping at shadows, all over the time, mate. But it's still not going to stop you from being almost fully invested.
It's not. But I'm just, just another sort of parameter in that sort of theory where we're being lulled into this false sense of security. And generally, when markets, you know, become this quiet and complacent, that something does happen, and it may only be a swift 10% kick up the bum, but. It will. I think there's something to come later in the year or even Q1 next year. But until then, I mean, just ride the highs. Just hold, diamond hands, you know, it all.
Don't get in the way. Look, it's a matter of where you allocate. It's a matter of where you allocate on this one. So I think that, look, you got to play it each way. There's a chance that, yes, you're right, and maybe there is. And if the fact that you've got really smart people on the street, I hate that expression. If you've got really smart people on the street, half of them are some of them are saying, yes, recession, some of them aren't. Mm. Either way, I mean, you still, if you're going to be invested, it's not going to be in consumer discretionary.
Not yet, anyway.
You'd be a fool. You're just like, okay, there's a 50% chance that I'm wrong about this thing, more or less. If I'm going to be wrong, that's going to be where I'm going to be wrong. So why would I have to hold that when I've got all this other stuff?
Exactly.
That's as I go through. That's how you do this. That's how you do this business, kids. Pay attention. What else we got? US Q2 CPI. What's that chart? You had a chart of the Aussie up before, didn't you?
The XJO. Give me 2 seconds. I'll bring that back up. Beautiful. Looking at the XJO. Nice breakout here on the XJO.
She's good.
Here again, a couple of weeks ago, we were looking pretty sad and sorry for ourselves.
Yeah.
But that China stimulus talk and, you know, the positive moves in the US, et cetera, have done well. And also here we got some really, really soft CPI data this week. If I want to bring it up.
Perfectly soft.
Yeah, it was.
Core 0.9% versus a 1.1 expectations quarter on quarter, 5.9% versus a 6er. It's what the RBA needs. I'll tell you what, all of the gift of the roles for the new girl coming in.
Looks good.
What an absolute dream.
you know, the economy's rolling along nicely. It's softening as we expected. Jobs are still strong, but CPI is coming down. We're in a period of disinflation. Things look good. It's going to be, I think, a period of holds for her unless something, you know, we get either a real big deterioration in the economy and she has to cut it spooks up again and we have to keep on raising rates, which, you know, could very well possibly be, you know, very similar to that 03 to 07 period where, you know, the economy, despite higher rates, you know, earnings kept on lifting, rates kept on going higher, everything was good until it wasn't. And we obviously,
what do we got next week? All led to.
Next week is the RBA decision on Tuesday, 1st of August.
Start of August. It's going to be it's a funny week too, guys. Just make sure your calendars are set. I know I've got a meeting. It's one of the...
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
That's 5 weeks or something like that. So it's 5 months.
Oh, okay. Okay,
Anyway,
it's interestingly now, the markets, I think they had it 50-50 of an RBA raise hold next week. It's now come down to about 25% for a hike.
Yep.
But if you ask economists, 10 out of 12 think they'll hike next week. So the market is at odds with what the economists are thinking. I'll back the market in. I always do. And it is mostly right.
Keep in mind that the guy that I'm going to have to be paying attention to in my new role is the UBS economist that has managed to get, he's batting 100 on calls. Does that mean that he's extraordinarily good and you should keep on backing him? Or do you mean that statistically he's due to miss one?
Both. Just keep on backing him until he's wrong.
I'm going to keep backing him. In a couple of weeks, it's sort of, I mean, you got to sing from the hymn sheet sometimes with this thing. And who am I to take on the guy who's gone, 12 from 12 on I'm getting the RBA correct.
Exactly. Exactly. That was Gareth Aird a few months ago, but then he got one wrong, so we had to rely on the UBS guy.
No.
Yeah.
Lost his magic touch. I'll tell you who's not. I mean, Baron Joey has had a pretty dismal record. You know, call it as you see it. I'm not saying they're bad at the job. I'm just saying that they've just missed a few. Then they could do better.
Yeah.
Who am I to say these things? I'm sorry, guys.
I mean, it's hard to be different in this market and not be wrong. I mean, consensus has been pretty close to being right most months. There's been a couple of months that, you know, these guys have gone the other way and been right. So, I mean, if you want to be a little bit different and stick out from the crowd, then you're probably going to be more wrong than right at the moment, unfortunately.
Yeah, correct. All right, let's move on for what we've got. RBA's out. Big earnings week again.
Massive, usually. Massive. And the market really didn't, you know, do much with it. I mean, all the big guys like Microsoft, Google, Meta, even like Coke and Visa and that, they all beat, and they beat convincingly. With Microsoft, there's some concerns about slowing cloud growth. But, I mean, when you get to their size, you can't keep on growing cloud revenue at 30% per annum. I mean, naturally, with the larger the number, the more people you bring on, I mean, naturally, that's going to scale down. Whereas someone like Google, who's much, much smaller in the market, is going to see, you know, 40, 50% growth in that sort of area. So Google, surprisingly, where they beat was obviously cloud, like I mentioned, but YouTube ads. YouTube ads came in a lot stronger than expected, which means, you know, maybe businesses and corporates are feeling more confident.
Hello, for everyone who's watching us on YouTube, hello, and thank you for watching us on YouTube. Please send me some money. I don't think I have anything set up to do that, so I don't know how you're going to do it. Just send me money. Yeah.
You set up a Patreon, mate, a Patreon. And Meta, again, the ad impressions were up 34% on quarter or something, even though prices were down with a lot of growth out of Asia and the rest of the world outside the US. So, where else? What are we looking? Oh, Shell came out. That was probably the other major one. Earnings down 50. Was it? Looking at my notes, 56%. That's to be expected. I mean, energy has come off, you know, almost by half, so that their earnings match that. But they did miss on production and revenue and earnings, so a little bit softer there. But interestingly enough, the cheapest sector in the SPX, providing the most cash flow, is what?
Energy.
Energy. Yep. And healthcare is
cheap. It's cheap and cash rich, just like I was going to say, just like you. Just like me.
You got half that right. I'll let you decide which one it is.
Okay, so we've got US jobs and PMIs as well. So, I still like energy. Two things. So let's show us a chart. One is fuel and the other one is wire.
Which one's fuel? All right, I'll bring up fuel.
So fuel is the beta shares. I've got a beta shares trend bottle.
There we go. So there's the fuel chart. You can see it's scaling down. And what's this invested again in, James? It's just invested in energy companies worldwide.
Yep, energy companies. So Shell BP is it, total.
Is it ex-Australia?
Yeah, it's the big Europeans. Mostly it's a big Europeans. It's effectively like half of the FTSE or something like that. It's just funny because I also own the FTSE as well, but that's a different story. That's got banks too.
Bring up a oil chart. You can see oil is starting to recover here and it's broken that downtrend. I think that could be on the basis of China eventually will stop teasing us and bring out some sort of stimulus and start recovering towards the end of the year, I think. I think those production cuts by OPEC and Russia are starting to have an impact on supply worldwide. So
I've seen some amazing notes about this week about just where they see oil going. I had something all lined up that Jumana Bechet from CNBC was interviewing an oil guy. I love her. She's amazing. And don't tell my wife. But she's very smart and just extraordinary on TV. And she was interviewing an oil guy, and his view was just like, it's either bullish now or bullish a little bit after now. There's no other way to get to this conclusion. It was just such a well put thing. I'd love to drop a link, but I couldn't be bothered right now. So that's fuel and wire. I think that China stimulus. You've got a note here. Do you want to say it? You do the catch line. China needs to.
It, John and his baseball economics, baseball stimulus,
baseball economics.
Policy. You know, they need to go hard or go home. You know, they need, that's what they need. Take a leaf out of the Pommies' book. And
I think the worst is done. The worst is behind us. What's that? Yeah. Is that wire?
Yeah, that's why it hasn't got a long tail because. But there was a breakout this week on the back of. There's two more candles here that you probably can't see very well. On the back of that China stimulus talk, and if you match it up with there's copper, the underlying copper future contracts, rolling contract, we're starting to see some improvement and better shape there. And that chart is starting to look quite enticing. A breakout here, I mean, it looks a little bit similar to the oil chart.
Copper's
good.
CSGO. I got wire.
Back to around $4.25 a pound. So,
all right. Now,
yeah.
Let's talk some nonsense, just moving it along. So China's stimmy is good. You got, US jobs, PMIs, that's all fine. I honestly don't see that there's anything out of the way from anything sort of carrying on. Now, if I may switch over, change the subject a little bit. Look at this. Look at this nonsense that I'm about to pull up onto the screen. This is insane. Yep. Yeah, I know. Hang on. Right, share screen. Also, this is annoying. I've got Twitter. Shut up. I've got Twitter. Look at this. Look at these idiots. Okay. Can you see this? Can you see what I'm seeing?
It's coming up. It's slowly. Yep. I can see this.
The annoying thing is that when you've got Twitter now. See, Twitter now is the little logo is an X. It makes it look like you've got, you know, smutty images or something on there. That's Twitter. That's what Twitter is now, guys. Don't hassle me. Look at this RM Williams
on there at the moment.
It's the RM Williams. This is what I want to talk about. I want to talk about RM freaking Williams. And these nonsense jerseys, which is there. Phil War is someone that I know, and I wouldn't say that we're friends, but I know that we associate sometimes in the same circles. And I'm going to have a word to him about this nonsense. This is insane. Mm-hmm. I hope we get thrashed. I hope we get thrashed on Saturday.
who are they playing?
You know how much they're charging? You know how much RM Williams is charging for those footballs? Do you know how much?
$200?
Higher.
More? Higher?
Higher.
I was just basing it on the AFL stuff I know of.
You're just basing it on the nonsense, aren't you? Well, I don't know. Marty Wetton sent me a note this morning and just went, James, look at this insanity. And I just went, what? Oh my God. It was a $1,000 rugby ball. $1,000 replica rugby ball. $999.
Who needs a $1,000 rugby ball? I mean,
not freaking me. It's a replica, not even a real one. It's just like a replica one. See the ones that they were just throwing around in the last clip? These are, anyway, rugby has lost its way. We need to get ourselves back in action. We need to, I don't know. What are you going to do?
I'll just stick to AFL.
We need to. Yeah, exactly. Look, so that's my tip of the week is that I think that take New Zealand to beat the spread. I think it's 12.5. The Wallabies will need more than that. I think that the All Blacks in Melbourne, and the only way you can watch it is on Stan, I believe. So it's not as if anyone's really going to be watching it either. I'm incensed. I want to have a Wallabies team that you can watch. I'm not even a rugby person, but it just seems like it's just part of who we are culturally. And it's just been taken away from us, just hidden somewhere, hoping that nobody notices. And then, oh, why isn't anyone coming to the games or watching us or supporting us, buying stupid RM Williams sweaters? I don't think they're going to be a sponsor anymore, mate. I think that's my tip of the week. The All Blacks are going to beat the spread on that. Just take them with all the money, go nuts. What have you got?
It's a showdown here in SA, Port versus Crows. I've got a showdown special. I think the Crows are going to beat the spread, beat the line. I think it's a couple of goals, 13.5 points. Of the last six times the Crows have played a top four side, they've beaten the line. So I'm backing them in to do it a seventh time. And showdown's generally pretty close.
Two or three goals. You put your heart and soul into this one. Yeah.
Yeah. So
I was off the tickets.
Oh, where? To go to the showdown?
Yep.
That means you'd have to come to the SA, mate.
I love it over there, mate, but I just had to turn it down. I just can't do that. I can't drop my hat now. Maybe in my future role, I will be able to do that sort of thing, but anyway, I can't. Mate, I am going to have to wrap it up there. Short and sharp, sweet. Have you got anything, last bids, last offers?
No, nothing. That's about it. It's apart from the US earnings, it was a very quiet week.
Yep. Yep, very true indeed. I'm just thinking about what else. What is here? I had something to discuss, and we might discuss this later. Emerging market bonds is my tip. Is my pick of the week. Have a look at EM bonds. We're looking at emerging market economies and are starting to cut rates. So you get one of those floating rate bond ETFs if you want to play it really easily.
Yep.
That'll go up as those rates across the EM sector start to come down.
Yep.
And the rule with emerging market bonds, be short and sharp, be right and be wrong early. I've been flabbergasted with this stuff before. So good luck on that stuff. Heath, last chance?
That's it. All done, mate. Good.
Okay, mate, we are out of here. Thank you. You have listened to the Theory of Thing Investment Podcast sponsored by the Australian Mutual Funds Exchange and RM Williams. But anyway, look, thanks very much for joining us, anyone. If you've got any questions, please send us a note. And if you've got any comments about the show or things that you would like us to do, please also send us a note and I'll try my best to get after it. Thanks a lot, Heath, mate. Have yourself a good weekend. Good luck to the Crows.
And thanks, mate. We're going to need it. We're going to need it. But yeah, thanks, everyone. Have a great weekend.
All right, mate.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.